your Bibles, if you would, I want you to open them with me to two portions of Scripture. We're only going to look at two passages for the most part. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And then we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I appreciate Alonzo and, you know, stepping in and opening up for us this morning. We're going to have more participation from other people other than myself. This is not a one-man show. And God is raising up people to do great things. And so my responsibility is to make sure that I teach you right so that you can do the right thing. But Alonzo struck on a theme that's important when he talked about one of the primary figures in the ministry of Jesus, and that was the woman at the well of Samaria. And she was not a Jew, and the Jews and the Samaritans really didn't get along with each other. But she's one of the primary figures of the gospel because of the way her life was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. Well, I'm going to talk about two other women today. As you know, I've been talking about faith for the last several weeks, and I'm doing a series that I call Real People, Real Faith. So we're teaching you the principles of faith by looking at people found in the Scriptures who were just like you. And you know the great thing about God, there are several things that the Scripture says about His character, but two of the things that are really amazing are, number one, He is consistent. He does not change. He is always, forever the same. And the great thing about that is if He revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, then He must still be the Lord our healer today. If He revealed Himself as the Lord our peace or the Lord our righteousness, then He is still that today because He doesn't change. And the second thing is, God is no respecter of persons. In other words, He does not play favorites. He will not do for one that He's unwilling to do for another. And so if God, who's always consistent, never changes, and is always the same, moved on behalf of these women, then He'll do the same for you. Because He never changes, and He doesn't play favorites. Are you ready to get into this? Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm just going to highlight this story briefly. And we're going to see some things in the life of this woman that can help you to understand how faith works. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread." Now, this woman was obviously known in her community, and Shunem is towards the north of Israel. And so Elisha, being the prophet of Israel, would pass through there regularly to minister. Well, on one occasion when he was passing through Shunem, here the scripture says she constrained him. That phrase literally means that she laid hands on him and made him come to her home for dinner. Because obviously his intent was to go back to wherever he came from. And there must have been some distance involved. And so she literally grabbed him by the arm and said, "You're coming to my house for dinner." Now, it's hard to turn down an invitation like that unless you're really cold-hearted, you know what I mean? And so he went to her home for dinner. And then on a regular basis, every time he came through Shunem, he had dinner at this woman's house with she and her husband. Well, after this happened for a period of time, we don't know how long, she went to her husband. She said, "Look, this is a holy man. Why don't we build him a little room in our home so that when he comes to Shunem, he has a place to sit down, to eat, and a bed that he can sleep in." Now, when Elisha traveled, he didn't travel by himself. He had at least one guy who was ministering to him, his helper, Gehazi. He was his assistant. And so her husband agreed, and they built this little apartment, if you will, in their home. And every time that Elisha and Gehazi passed through Shunem to minister, they would have a meal in her home with her husband, and Elisha and Gehazi would sleep there, obviously until the next day, and then they would continue to travel. Now, let me show you how God does things. One day when they were in her home, Elisha said to Gehazi, go call the woman of the home. And so she came, and he asked her, what would you have me do for you? You've been so kind to us. You've been so compassionate to us. Now, they didn't have to do this, but she was compelled to do this on behalf of the man of God, if you will. And he said, what can I do for you? Would you like me to speak to the king or the captain of the hosts? And she said, no, I dwell among my own people. You don't have to do anything for me. And so obviously she left. So a little later on, Elisha's having a conversation with his assistant, Gehazi. And he says, what can we do for this woman? And Gehazi said, Master, she has no child. In other words, she's childless, and her husband is old. So Elisha said, Gehazi, call her back to the room and have her stand in the door. Now, this is amazing when God does things like this. So she comes back to the room, stands in the door. This is sometime later after that first conversation. And Elisha looks at her and says, about this time next year, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And immediately she said, and this is my modern paraphrase, don't mess with me. Don't you dare lie to me. He said, no, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And so they left, headed back to wherever they came from. And wouldn't you know, this woman got pregnant and had a son. Now, many years have passed, and this boy has grown up. He's gotten old enough to work with dad out in the fields. And so one day he's out working with dad in the fields, and he has this severe headache, and he can't do anything. And so Pop sends him home. Well, the servants took him home. Mother cradled this boy in her arms. And while she was holding him, he died. Now, I want to show you what happened in the life of this woman and why it happened. Now, she did something that's unusual that you find here in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm giving you highlights, all right? She took that boy's body and went upstairs to Elisha's room and laid his body on Elisha's bed. And then she called one of the employees and said, look, you know, you go tell my husband that I need somebody to take me to town. I need a horse and a chariot. And so the messenger went out and said, hey, your wife wants somebody to take her to town. She needs a horse and a chariot. He said, why? Said, she's going to see Elisha, the prophet. He said, well, there are no meetings scheduled today. There's no services today. What you going to see him for? And she said, all is well. Literally what she said in Hebrew was shalom. That word encompasses more than just peace. See, we often think of peace as the absence of conflict. Well, that might be a temporal human definition of peace, but godly peace involves so much more. The word shalom, which is translated peace, means peace, well-being, safety, security, and health. And so when she said, all is well, shalom, her husband got an employee and they went and took her to the prophet. Well, when she got to the prophet's compound where he lived, he and Gehazi were obviously where they could see who was coming up the road. And Elisha said to Gehazi, he said, look, isn't that Shunammite woman? I mean, they spend a lot of time in her home. He knew her. He said, I wonder what she's coming for. Tell you what, I want you to go ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And Gehazi did what he was told, met her before she got to the house, and said, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She said, it is well. Then she proceeded to come to the house. Elisha came out to meet her, and she fell down and grabbed him by the feet And Elisha immediately knew there's something wrong here, and God didn't show it to me. Now, let me tell you something about why she did what she did. Twice now she has said, all is well. When we know, according to what the narrative says, all was not well. Her young boy was dead, laying on Elisha's bed. Now, you might ask the question, why did she lay that boy's body on the bed? Here's a principle of faith that you need to understand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why did she lay that boy's body on the bed? Many years before, there was another prophet in Israel named Elijah, who happened to be the mentor of Elisha. And there came a time that Elijah walked into the palace of the king of Israel, Ahab, whose wife's name was Jezebel, and declared, "It's not going to rain until I say so." And Ahab looked at him and said, "Man, you're a fool. You done lost your mind. Get out of my sight." And so he did. And Ahab was fine for a couple weeks. Then those weeks stretched into months. And those months turned into over 3 years without rain. And during that time period, he was so backslidden, so ungodly, he blamed Elijah for Israel's trouble, when really the trouble was not Elijah, the trouble was him. Because of his ungodly lifestyle and his wickedness, he was causing Israel to sin. He was the problem, not Elijah. And so he put a bounty on Elijah's head and was looking to kill him. So Elijah went north of Israel into southern Lebanon or Syria to a place called Zarephath. Because the Lord told Elijah, "Behold, I have prepared a widow woman in Zarephath to take care of you." So Elijah went to Zarephath, found this woman. The famine was so bad, she had prepared her last little cake and was going to eat that cake and give it to her and her son, and she was just going to die because they had nothing left. And Elijah went to Zarephath by the word of the Lord and said to her, "First, before you make your little cake, make me one." There's a principle here. When you give, God always reciprocates. And so before she took her little cake, didn't make sense, didn't understand it, so she made him a little cake first. And because she did that, her food never ran out. God supernaturally sustained her. But there came a time in that woman's life, this is decades before this woman that we're talking about now in Shunem, that her son got sick. Elijah was still in their home, and he died. And so she comes in the room where Elijah is, and with her dead son, and said, "What have you done to me? Have you come to recall my sins to remembrance?" And Elijah took that boy's body, went up to his room, laid that body on the bed, and prayed and believed God until that boy came back to life. Now let's fast forward a couple, maybe three decades later. Now the Shunammite woman, the woman from Shunem, her son has died. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She remembered that story of the woman in Zarephath, and she decided to do what she did. So she took her son's body, went up to Elisha's room, and laid him on Elisha's bed. Listen, faith always has an expectation. If you live your life without expectation, then your faith is null and void. Because he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. She had done things on behalf of God's man. She expected a reward, and this wasn't it. So she laid her son on Elisha's bed, and when she headed out, she told everybody, "All is well." Now, let me ask you a question. Pastor Bill, was she lying? No, that was her faith talking. She had an expectation. If that woman in Zarephath, who was just like me, who took the prophet into her home, could have her son raised from the dead, then there's nothing that says I can't have my boy raised from the dead. I'm going to see the prophet. And so she started saying, all is well. Her faith was talking. So she gets to Elisha. She grabs him by the feet. And as a good assistant does, he tries to push this woman away. He said, no, no, leave her alone. Her heart is grieving. Something's happening and the Lord has hid it from me. And then she says to Elisha, didn't I tell you not to deceive me? Didn't I tell you not to lie to me? So immediately he knows something happened to that boy. And so he says his assistant, sends his assistant, Gehazi, with his staff. He said, you go find that boy and you lay my staff upon his face. So Gehazi takes off. Now listen, here's something else that she said. She said something to Elijah that struck a chord in him. And when you study the scripture, you find this. Most people don't realize this. See, many times we read the Bible with religious glasses on and don't really understand what happened. This woman said something to Elijah. She said, as long as I live and as long as God lives, I will not leave you. Now, that expression, leave you, azab, means I'm not going to let go. Now, that expression, as long as God lives, as long as you live, I will not leave you. Sound familiar? That's the same thing that Elisha said to Elijah many years before when Elijah passed on to glory by a fiery chariot. He kept telling Elisha, you know, I'm going over to the next town. Why don't you hang out here and chill with the brothers? And Elisha said, as long as you live and as long as God lives, I will not leave you. And so they went over. And he'd get to the next place, say, you know, why don't you hang out here with the brothers? I'm going to Jericho. He said, as long as you live, as long as God lives, I will not leave you. So finally, they cross over to Jericho. Then he says, I'm going to Jordan. Why don't you chill out with the fellas? You know, sometimes chilling out with the fellas will cause you to miss out on God's best. Chilling out with the fellas ain't that important. I love all you guys, but you know what I mean. Some things are more important than hanging with your friends. As long as you live, as long as God lives, I will not leave you. And so they crossed over Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle, slapped that water, and the water got up, got out of the way. And they walked across on dry ground. Elijah turned to Elisha and said, what would you have me give you before I leave? He said, I want a double portion of the spirit that's on you to be on me. He said, you've asked a hard thing. See, the double portion doesn't come by getting in a prayer line. The double portion comes by being faithful, by being consistent, by being determined, and having an attitude like Elisha, as long as you live and as long as God lives, I'm not leaving you. See, unfaithful people don't get blessed like that. But when you're faithful and you're diligent and you work hard, that's where the double portion comes from. I can rub all the hair off your head. If you're not faithful, you won't see a double portion. You with me? That's biblical. I can teach you that. Now, why did that woman say that to Elisha? Well, she's got him by the foot. She said that because she heard that come out of his mouth as he preached that sermon. And I'm sure he preached it many times. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is important what you listen to. It is important who you hear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She is regurgitating to Elisha the stuff she learned from him. As long as you live, as long as God lives, I will not leave you. Elisha immediately was compelled to go deal with the situation himself. Gehazi got there, laid the staff, nothing worked. So Elisha went in, shut the door. Bottom line is, not much time later, he opened that door, said, Gehazi, he said, give this boy to his mother. He was alive. Now, what can we learn from the life of this woman? She spoke her faith with her words. All is well.